Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Big thanks to Alana Brophy who joined us.
She always gets a lot of reaction.
Yes. Our Twitter listeners enjoy that.
She did not like your question of, is the drought over? She didn't like that.
She knew it was coming, though.
Yeah, she did. She'd planned for it. She kept her cool.
By the way, she said, can I just say Scott and Hans are my absolute faves? We can talk about anything, and I get the giggles. Seriously, you guys are the law to my Nina.
I can't believe you thought it was El Nino, dude. That's so embarrassing. Really shows our lack of meteorological knowledge.
I didn't say El Nino. I said La Nina earlier.
No, you said El Nino.
Yeah, you said El Nino.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I knew it wasn't a Nino.
Because you flexed and you said El Nino.
El Nino. Yeah.
It's not El Nino. It's La Nina.
La Nina.
So
but
there...
apparently we can't put any faith in that.
No.
4 months out, no dice.
Oh, so we can't. I thought that she was saying La Nina is coming and it's bringing its
snow.
No,
she said we might, but you can't bank on it.
Oh.
She said the only thing, you can only bank on stuff 4 days in advance.
It's like don't bank on monsoons in July. It just doesn't, you don't know.
And then deposits and withdrawals and some other stuff that I can't remember.
Well, our reservoirs are down.
Yeah.
We do need to reload those. I just thought these couple storms would do the job.
You think, right?
They'd do the trick.
We're good now.
Well, if they could funnel all the water that's running right through, what park was that we were looking at?
Oh, Sugar House Park.
Sugar House Park. Have that, you know.
Send that somewhere.
Kevin into Deer Creek. I don't know how you get it up there, but it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, let's go. All right, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Jared Butler, newest member of the Utah Jazz, had media availability, sat down with the Jazz media, thought it'd be good to have you guys get your Jared Butler fix, the newest member of the Utah Jazz, speaking with the media right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Hi, I'm Jared Butler. Just really excited to be here. My journey has come to Utah, so it's a great chapter of my life, and I just can't wait to get to know you guys. I feel like we're going to be talking to y'all a lot, and just excited to be here.
Go ahead and open it up. You guys want to raise your hands if you guys have questions? We'll start there.
Hey, I'm Andrew Larson from the Salt Lake Tribune. Good to meet you. Just can you tell us about kind of how this process unfolded from your point of view, and especially with the Jazz, kind of when you knew they were interested in you, and kind of you know when did they talk to you on draft night, that kind of thing?
Yeah. It's really a lot to explain. I mean, obviously, I played at Baylor University. The Jazz has some great ties with Baylor, and I knew some guys in the front office just from, you know, knowing guys. But I think through the draft process, I knew they had some interest, but they were at 30, and they kind of didn't think that I was going to get to 30. But, you know, I'm here now, so that's just about it. And on draft night, it was a rough night for me, but I think when the Jazz called me, it was just extremely, you know, thankful, and you know, this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm just, you know, honored for sure.
Tony, my name is Tony Jones from the Athletic. You know, can you go in a little bit more detail, you know, just about the night, the emotions of the night, knowing that you're a guy that probably has, you know, teams valuing the team, certainly, you know, in the middle of the first round. And the slide all the way to 40 because it's stuff that's largely out of your control. Yeah. What are your thoughts there, and how do you deal with it, and how do you process stuff like that?
Yeah, I have faith, obviously, and sometimes when you have faith, you don't know all the answers. You don't know all the ins and outs and how things are going to work. But for me, I just tried my hardest to have faith and that the Lord was going to direct me where I needed to go. And you guys, my parents, it was really hard, really tough, because like you said, it was something out of my control, and you know, I can't change, you know, who I am physically, you know, that's kind of hard. But like I said, at the end of the day, I think this is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm just so excited.
Hi, Jared, nice to meet you. Yeah. I'm Eric Walden. I work with Andy at the Salt Lake Tribune.
Nice.
Can you take us through, I think a lot of people have never heard of the fit to play situation before. Can you kind of take us through the process of getting medically cleared by the NBA? Was that the heart condition, the knee condition, both?
Yeah, I won't go into specifics about the condition or whatever.
Right, yeah, I'm not asking you to reveal anything.
Yeah.
Just kind of take us through what that process was like.
Yeah, so it's pretty simple. They whatever the field of interest is, they get three of the three doctors, one from the NBA, one from the NBA Players Association, and then those two doctors collaborate on getting a third doctor to make it a three-person panel. And I got a chance to speak before the panel, and me and my agent and some other representatives that I wanted to kind of like state my case and give my last remarks about, this is why I should have, whatever. And they deliberated and talked through it, and they ultimately came to the decision.
I'm Ryan Miller from KSL. What do you like about your fit coming here?
Yeah, I like how they shoot a lot of threes. Obviously at Baylor, we shot a lot of threes too, catch and shoot, off the dribble, pick and roll. I'm extremely excited about that, and I feel like the culture here is also something that I can really adjust to, and just really great people, honestly, and that's what I'm about, and just trying to be a fit and build up a culture that's inspiration to other people.
Ben Anderson, KSL Sports. You said the Lindsays, obviously. Mm-hmm. Have you met Quinn Snyder yet? Have you talked to him? And who else do you know from the team, if at all?
Yeah, Coach Quinn was the first person to call me, actually, on draft night. And he was pretty emotional, understood my story, and relayed to me that he was just, like, extremely happy that, I got to 40. And you could just tell that he drafted me as a person and wanted me for, who I am as a person and not just, basketball skills. So that was really comforting for me. And Jake and Mr. Dennis Lindsay is also some people that I know very, very, very well, and they've been extremely part of my life. So, yeah.
Sarah Todd from the Deseret News. Do you know whether or not you're going to be playing in summer league yet? Have you had talks about that with the guys in front of us?
Yeah, it's kind of still into debate, but I'm healthy enough to play. But yeah.
Any more questions? The prospect of playing with guys like Donovan Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, like you said, and I mean, just some very veteran guys, Mike Conley, possibly.
Yeah.
And what's that like, knowing that those are the guys that you could be possibly learning from your first season?
It's like a gold mine for me, just because the level at where they're at in their career and what they're doing is something that I want to do. So I have no problem being like, Mike, like, how do I get there? How do I be this guy? How do I be like you, type thing? And it's like a gold mine for me. And I'm humble enough to realize my role. And but I think at the same time, I can make huge contributions to winning. And that's what I'm all about.
Just what do you want Jazz fans to kind of know about yourself off the court? What are you like? What are your hobbies? I mean, kind of what are you like besides on the court?
Yeah, pretty cool guy.
pretty. Not to brag or anything.
Yeah. I love going to eat with people. Like literally just going to eat and having genuine conversations. I like going to the lake sometimes, being on the boat. That's kind of nice. I like to smile, laugh, pretty genuine and personable person. Can talk to anybody. And that's about it.
When at Baylor and throughout your college career, or somebody that played the point, played the two, how important is that positional versatility for you? And how important do you think it's been for your development to get to this point?
Yeah, it's been huge my whole life. I can remember being fourth grade playing on and off the ball. And, I didn't know at the time, but it was preparing me for the league and how it is right now with guys who, not just because you bring the ball to the court doesn't mean you're not coming off the ball screen, things like that. So I've been prepared for it my whole life. And it's definitely something that I think is going to come to my advantage and allow me to get on the court quicker because I'm not confined to one position.
Why did you go back to school after your sophomore year?
Why?
Yeah, you probably could have gotten drafted last year.
Yeah, right? For sure. I just think from the council of the people around me, they said I could be, a first-round pick. That didn't happen. But also our team's going to be really good. you know, we had a chance to win a national championship. We had a chance to just win the Big 12. So that was the other reason too.
What did you learn from that?
What did I learn?
Yeah, just from going back.
A lot of stuff, especially about just me as a person, handling adversity, how to win at the highest level, playing with guys who are also at a high level, and, you know, NBA players as well. And then also building a culture and, like, having it as your own, you know what I mean? It's a hard thing to do, especially as, like, college kids and, you know, you're trying to, you know, get the nation to be on notice of what you're doing. And, you know, that's something that we did.
Any more questions in the room? Okay, so good. Okay, we'll move over to Zoom now. Go ahead, Sammy.
There you go. The newest member of the Utah Jazz, Jared Butler.
We also had a really good conversation with his play-by-play man through his college years, John Morrison. And John was so complimentary of Jared in so many different areas. Really great conversation. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, you can go back to 1280thezone.com and you can catch that conversation. John went into detail about all things Jared, on court, off court, and by all accounts, he sounds like an amazing individual. It is kind of crazy to think that a guy that could be looked at as a lottery guy.
Yeah.
He could.
Lottery talent.
Dropped all the way to number 40. And so my first inclination is to think there's got to be a hitch. There's got to be something wrong. You don't have all the accolades that he had. Final Four MVP and all the things that made him great. And have potential lottery pick attached to you and fall to number 40 for no reason. But going through all the different accounts, Scotty, listening to John Morris talk about it, listening to a lot of different media members here in the state talk about it. There's also been other personnel that have talked about it that, you know, you feel like he has gone through the protocols, he's passed all the protocols, and he's ready to go. And if you've got a lottery pick at number 40 and you got assets back off a trade to get out of the 29th pick, it's pretty incredible.
It's a I'm curious to see him in action. And again, I thought there's a couple things that people are interested in. We talked about the Summer League rosters in the first segment of the show. He will not be able to be part of the Summer League here in Utah. Now, he will be part of the Summer League down in Vegas. The reasons why, a little complicated, but essentially the new year for the NBA does not start until August 6th. And that is when these trades can be completed, because there's a lot of contracts and things that need to be reached on August 6th. So while he is a member of the Utah Jazz, while the trade has been announced and the trade is all done in terms of everybody signing off on it, him coming to Utah, the problem is the other players and the other things that have to facilitate that cannot be completed until August 6th. So that is why he will not be on the court for the Jazz here in Salt Lake City, which is a bit of a bummer for sure. But you will be able to see him in the Summer League down in Vegas. But at the end of the day, I'm just excited to see him on the court. We saw him at Baylor. We saw him in the national championship game and throughout the NCAA tournament. We've seen his skill set. What happens when you take that jump to the Summer League? There are some guys out there that look pretty pedestrian in Summer League. I remember watching Deron Williams his first year thinking, okay, let's see what this guy's all about. And it was nothing. And then there's other guys that just immediately jump on the scene and are great in Summer League. So we'll see what happens there.
It's also crazy to think, because you get a guy that was perceived to be up there in the draft and you get him at number 40. The thought is, oh, well, you're going to have to sit and wait on this guy to recover from an injury. He's not recovering from an injury.
No.
He went through protocol. He's had a couple of different things that he's dealt with, but he's ready to play. As Scotty mentioned, this is a trade situation. This is waiting for all the T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted. And you get to see him in Vegas action. But you would think a guy that you get at number 40 with this kind of hype and pub, has to be dealing with a season-ending injury that's going to take him into the middle of the regular season before you get him back. But no, we get to see him in Vegas coming up in the beginning parts of this month.
Yeah, actually, pretty soon.
A week and a half.
All right, Hans and Scotty, coming up next, we'll announce our next selection in our top 60 and 60. We will also get you a little Total Recall as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
The general manager for the Utah Jazz, Justin Zanuck. Is it safe to say that you were going to make re-signing Mike Conley a priority?
Certainly we value Mike and what he's meant to our team. Obviously, I can't comment on how things will roll out. However, we do have a plan in place. We love him. Each move that you guys see that comes out, whether it's a draft pick, a trade, a signing, I know there's this urge to have like a hot take, but evaluating those in a silo is tough. In a couple weeks, you look back and look at it in its entirety of what we needed to do and what we were able to execute on. I think the bigger picture becomes more clear. That picture is not completed yet with a few more stages we have to go here. We have a plan, and hopefully we'll get it done.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, time for our next selection in our top 60 and 60. We're at number 25 today. This is Lloyd's clue as to who the selection is today.
Should be pretty easy.
Yep. Aerosmith, Janie's Got a Gun. And here it is, number 25.
This is the top 60 and 60. As The Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 college football season.
We're gonna have a good time.
And now, it's time for today's selection. The countdown returns to Provo as we focus on a wide receiver who was the second leading receiver from last year's record-setting offense. He's expected to have another big year in 2021. At number 25, from Brigham Young University, 6'3", 195-pound wide receiver, Gunnar Romney. Brigham Young University head coach Kalani Sitake.
Gunnar Romney, great route runner, long body, just can find the ball in the air, just put it anywhere in his vicinity, he comes down with it. Can turn a short yard gain into a big play. Has tons of speed and athleticism, and looking for a breakout year for him.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union and Icon on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Number 25, Gunnar Romney, wide receiver, BYU.
He's going to be fighting for catches, man. You know, you bring in a guy of the caliber of Puka Nacua, and you throw in the fact that you bring back Dallin Hooker, who was another great target before he went on his mission. You got Isaac Rex, who's already there. Who else am I missing? Neil Powell.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Nacua boys.
Yeah, Puka Nacua and Samson. He's going to be fighting for looks. So one interesting dynamic, Baylor Romney is his brother. And obviously Baylor, I think, is probably third string quarterback.
I think so.
My take is Jaren Hall is going to start.
Correct.
Conover is probably going to be second string, potential to grab the start. And then you've got Baylor Romney there that's kind of an insurance policy. I bet there's a bit of Gunner that's like, man, I wish my brother was the quarterback.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, because if your brother's the quarterback, you're going to be the primary target.
You're like, hey, Dad, Gunner's not throwing it to me. Can you talk to him?
Call him. I don't know what his deal is.
Baylor, you need to be thrown to your brother. All right, Dad.
How awkward would that be? How awkward would that be if he's not hidden gunner?
Very awkward, yeah.
Yeah, so I just think that that's an interesting thing. But I think gunner will probably be your second leading receiver in receptions and maybe second in yardage. No, third in receptions and maybe second in yardage. I think that Puka Nacua will probably lead in receptions and yardage. I think that Isaac Rex will probably be second in receptions, but not yardage. But Gunner will be right there.
All right, so let me give you his numbers and see if he equals what he did last year. 39 catches, 767 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Right on par with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Probably.
So he was second on the team in receiving yards. He was third in total receptions. Neil Powell had 45. He had 39. Isaac Rex had 37. You know Rex is going to get more than 37 this year.
That's my thought. Isaac Rex will be second in receiving or in receptions.
Now, Dax Millen was 70. You are replacing 70 catches, 1,100 yards, and 8 touchdowns with Dax Millen leaving.
But you're bringing Puka in, I think, to...
You know what's crazy?
Are we overestimating what value Puka and Sampson bring?
I thought Puka was going to be incredible going to Washington. And it just never panned out. But I still think he's going to be great at BYU. But I don't know, maybe for whatever reason, his game hasn't translated to the next level.
That's what I'm waiting to see.
But I still think it will. By the way, I keep forgetting this, and I know we've touched on this before, but Isaac Rex had 37 catches last year. 12 of those went for touchdowns.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
37 catches, 12 touchdowns.
He was really good for BYU, and I think he and Dallin Hulk are going to be a great tandem, a fantastic tandem.
Yeah. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It is now time for Total Recall, looking back on today's show. Brought to you, as always, by Angora. Right now, from concept to product launch, Angora can help you build a stable revenue stream via your very own Amazon e-commerce platform. Find out now at angora.solutions. Craig Smith, head coach at the University of Utah, joined us, talked about Namish Keita and also about how his staff is handling vaccinations going into this season.
Well, thanks for asking that. And first of all, I'm glad to hear you survived the storm.
Oh, my gosh.
Bountiful last night. That was incredible. But you guys probably maybe already talked about it. But, you know, Namish, what a great story and what an incredible journey he's had. You know, it started, we got hired 3 years ago at Utah State. And you know, we had kind of a mass exodus of players. I think we had 5 guys that left at that time, maybe 6. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of size. It's very difficult to find big guys at that time in particular. And we didn't have a whole lot to build on except for our history, a great history, of course. And so, but Eric Peterson, our assistant, we had started doing some international recruiting at University of South Dakota, and Eric was our primary guy in charge of that. And just through some of our systems of networks and contacts, we came across Namish. And, Eric and I were both at his draft party the other night. He goes, Coach, you remember when I showed you he showed like a 3-minute like clip tape, and I'm not a clip tape guy when it comes to recruiting, but I was like, yeah, like, you know, he could do some things that nobody in our program could. And then we all sat down in the office and we watched like 10 minutes and I just said, I don't need to see any more. This guy's a pro. And I kind of forgot I had said that. And he brought that up actually. It was kind of cool. But, you know, he didn't graduate till the end of June. He had committed in late May. Eric actually went over there. There were some FIBA things going on, and then he was able to meet with Nimi and do the whole thing. And long story short, he was able to get cleared, get his visa, all the things that go into it. And Eric has a long history of doing those kinds of things and knowing the ins and outs with that. And he got to school the second day. School started on, you know, Monday. He arrived on Tuesday. And, you know, Nimi comes from very humble beginnings. He didn't have a whole lot growing up. He started playing basketball late, and he showed up. I got a great picture of his first day at Utah State, and he's just this skinny, you know, 6'11", 215-pound kid, you know, young man, however you want to phrase it. And I always tell the story when he went to the cafeteria and his eyes just got huge. He saw all this food and we're just like, Nimi, you can eat as much as you want. You can go back for second, thirds, fourth, and just it's carte blanche and it's part of your scholarship. And he just couldn't even believe it. And so he's always been a very appreciative guy. You know, we go play at Montana State and then we had three straight home games. And we really played very, very well. And he burst onto the scene. And I remember every time we would take him out, I would always give him a little bit of feedback, a little instruction. He'd give me a big bear hug. And it was so cool, but awkward at the same time. But, and then just to see him grow and develop, he really struggled at the NBA combine after his freshman year. But I think that struggle really, really helped him. Of course, he had the knee injury that really set him back. And it took him for a while to come back. He was finally himself at the end of his sophomore year. And that's why we beat the number. It's a huge reason we beat the number 5 ranked team in the country to win the Mountain West Conference Tournament Championship. And then the year he had this year was just spectacular. On the floor, off the floor, his maturity, his leadership went to a whole nother level. And so here he is. And it's going to be a big learning curve for him. In the NBA, he's never even been to an NBA game, and I'm sure he'll be going in the summer league. And so what a proud moment, certainly for all of us involved. I've never heard a teammate say anything bad about Nimi, and so I'm excited to see where his future goes.
Coach, I'm really curious how you're handling vaccinations with your players and with your assistant coaches and how the University of Utah is handling vaccinations as you guys head into competition and camp. What types of things are you doing in that scenario?
You know what? We were fortunate. Of course, we got hired here. I think my first day was March 28th and hired DeMarlo and Eric, 3 or 4 days later? And then just, you know, our athletic trainer, Trevor, he's been around forever since the Coach Majerus days. He's the head of our athletic training area for all of athletics. He's phenomenal in what he does. And, you know, all of our staff and every one of our student athletes is fully vaccinated. So we are, you know, we just said something to our guys a couple times between Trevor and I. We didn't mandate anything, but just kind of laid it out there. Like, these are the pros. These are, you know, and if you have any concerns, feel free to talk them over. But I think when the guys found out that, you know, to my understanding, you wouldn't have to quarantine due to contact tracing if you're fully vaccinated. If you have symptoms, so to speak, and Trevor deems it necessary, then you would have to test. Like, I got a little bit sick a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and so I went in and got tested, and I tested negative, so I didn't have to, you know, I was fine. So I'm happy to say that we shouldn't have any, unless there's some extenuating circumstance that I don't know about, because we're all vaccinated, you know, we're in good shape and we're ripping and running.
Fully vaccinated, the staff and the team as well. That's good to hear for the University of Utah.
A little surprised that they were able to get everybody vaccinated, but it sounds like they all kind of came together as a staff and it was kind of encouragement through a vision of what these guys are going to be able to get through if they are vaccinated, and then obviously the flip side of that, unvaccinated. But it should make it a lot easier for that team in the long run.
Well, in talking to Marco Anthony, he missed some games last year due to COVID. He caught it, and you know, it wasn't like he wasn't lying around on his deathbed or anything like that, but it wasn't a pleasant experience for him. And I know that a lot of guys have dealt with it, but there's a guy that's coming into your team that is going to be asked to be one of the leaders on this team. And he's like, look, I got it. And it sucked. It wasn't fun. And I don't want to deal with that again. And I also don't want to miss games like he did last year because of it. So, go get the job. And when you have that kind of leadership within your locker room, then you can get it taken care of, hopefully.
The reason I even asked the question is because all the protocols that are coming forward and the potential of missing games, that really is a big storyline. To me, that's what makes that all of it really interesting. And I don't know how that's going to work in the NBA or how it's going to work in the NFL. I did see that Bruce Arians said that his team's about 85%, said that the Tampa Bay Bucks are about 85% vaccinated right now. My guess is your professional teams are going to get up there, but I just think the whole process has been really interesting to follow. I appreciate Craig being willing to answer that question.
Hey, I'm just seeing this come across in a tweet about the San Francisco 49ers. Let me ask you how this cracks me up. So the 49ers, because all the players are giving instead of giving an actual playbook, because you got like a paper playbook, right?
Yeah.
Or a binder or whatever. Mm-hmm. The 49ers playbook is now solely on an iPad, which is great. Technology is good. But here's the other side of this. And Lloyd, you'll like this because you remember the stories about Jamarcus Russell and the $100 bill. The 49ers now are all linked. They can link to those iPads and see how much and how often and how long players are studying that playbook.
It's just like that report you get on Sunday that lets you know how much time you spent doing
which is
certain
really
things
a depressing thing, right? Too, when you find out, oh, you spent 3 hours a day on your iPhone. I'm like, no, I didn't.
I refute right that.
But here, so the front office and the coaching staff is getting reports on how long players are spending on their iPad. Now, what if you like opened up that app that had the playbook on it, but then you like went and were on, you know, playing Angry Birds or something.
Yeah, and left it open.
And left it open.
That would be the smart thing to do.
But I'm pretty sure that it's, you know, I think there's probably some protocols in place to make sure that guys aren't getting around it.
Probably wouldn't become a problem until you're out there making multiple mental errors. And then a coach is like, hey, what? How long are you spending in your playbook? And you're like, I don't know, like 5 or 6 hours a day. I'm in it. Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll go check that.
Yeah.
That's where it probably becomes a problem. You'd have to be screwing up pretty bad. But there comes a point of looking at a playbook where it just doesn't help anymore. You just look at it, and it all seems the same, and you don't even know what you're looking at anyways. The NFL playbooks are very difficult. You know, your full team playbooks, very difficult. At least Peyton Manning's was. My guess is everybody's pretty deep.
I got to imagine we're at a point now where it's pretty, like, making that jump from college to the NFL, that's probably the most difficult part, is it not?
Oh, for sure.
Because I don't know if you heard this, Britton Covey on Pac-12 Media Day. He said, look, at the end of the day, a college quarterback is still a pre-snap read. Like it's really not that difficult. Like, it's more about matchups than anything at the collegiate level.
Yeah.
And he said Tyler Huntley, everything was pre-snap with him. Like, he knew where he was going with the ball every time he snapped it. There wasn't that concern about shifting defenses and all that. You're like, that receiver is better than that defensive back, and we're going to go that direction. He's like, it's really not that complicated. You go to the NFL, it's a whole nother level there.
Whole nother level. That's why you see quarterbacks that have such amazing success at the college level, and they just tank at the pro level. The quarterback position is a completely different thing. You know, with all the in-play reads, those things are all really difficult. But I don't know, man. I don't think I want somebody tracking the hours I spend in my playbook. I'd rather just have the paper version.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to give you the paper version anymore.
Can I get that on paper, please? Can I get that in paperback?
Can I take that to Kinko's and just print it?
You remember the Jamarcus Russell story, right? Where they put a $100 bill in the playbook and with like a note, like, it's yours, enjoy it. And then they you know, sent it home with him for a couple weeks and then brought it back. And it was like on page like 6 or 7. And then so he turns it back in and the $100 bill's still there. Like, did you get your story? He's like, oh, yeah.
That's got to be an old wives'
cover
tale.
To cover. Lloyd, come on.
I think there's some. It's blurring. It's blurring on me because that's they used that story, I think, for that dopey movie, the Kevin Costner NFL draft or whatever movie. They draft used something day. Similar, draft day for that. A similar story. But yeah, it seems like I remember something like that with Jamarcus.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's wise. Man, give me the old paper.
Now we got to make sure that's a real story. We probably shouldn't be throwing that out there if it's not real.
I think you've said worse about Jamarcus. It probably isn't true.
Oh, yeah. Everything about Jamarcus.
The purple. The purple drink.
That wasn't confirmed.
Was he the cruise, the infamous cruise, or was that?
No, that was the Vikings.
Oh, that was the Vikings.
That was the Vikings. Don't you put him on that cruise.
Yeah. Oh, here's another one. Coaches didn't think Jamarcus Russell wasn't studying the tapes that they gave him. So they sent him home with some hard tapes to watch at home. He said he watched all the tapes with the blitz packages, but the problem was the tapes he returned back were blank. They just gave him blank tapes.
That's so much worse. Like, that's worse.
David Deal just told a great story. Coaches didn't think Jamarcus Russell was studying tapes, so they gave him blank cassettes. Next day, he said he watched all the blitz packages, but again, the tapes were blank.
David Deal. He was an offensive lineman.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Hands and Scotty. Wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show next here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. Time now to talk college sports with Ron Barker. Former head of compliance for Pac-12, was there for a couple decades.
No, I think the big thing with the Oregon case at the time with Willie Lyles was everybody was doing that, what Oregon was doing. Oregon got caught. I used to laugh and say at the Pac-12, some of our schools are doing what everybody's doing, we're just not as good at it. Oregon got caught doing something that probably 70% of the schools were doing at the time. It was just another case of, okay, you need to get better at how you do this, which I shouldn't say that. It's like speeding on the freeway. Hardly anybody's going 60. And if a policeman pulls you over and you're going 75, you can't say, well, look, everybody's doing it. You're the one who got caught. So that's what happens a lot in college sports is somebody gets caught for doing something that everybody's doing.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hands and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Little Olympics, men's basketball, Olympic action tonight, taking on Spain. You going to be watching that?
Yes, I will be watching that. Looking forward to it. Quarterfinal action.
Come on, let's all be honest. we'll check the scores afterwards. No, there's some interesting stuff going on.
Yeah.
Australia's still 3-0. They haven't lost. I think France is still 3-0.
And United States is on the same side of the bracket as Australia. So if USA wins and Australia, who I'm not sure who they're playing.
I don't either.
But if they win, then that'll be quite the rematch there.
I would love to see them meet up. And then eventually you're going to have to see France. How about if you see France in the championship?
France is on the other side. You could see a United States versus Rudy Gobert in France gold medal game. Or maybe a bronze medal game. Who knows?
Yeah, I'll be watching a little bit. I'm excited about it.
And then you got Luka for Slovenia, who's just tearing through everybody right now.
And then in 2 hours, official free agency starts.
Yes.
Are we going to see a lot of fireworks right out of the gates?
I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm not sure. I think that by all accounts, it seems like the Jazz feel pretty – I mean, well, I shouldn't say the Jazz feel confident. By reports, it seems like there should be a level of confidence out there that Mike Conley will be returning to the Jazz, but I don't know. We'll see. But I think that one you'll probably know pretty quick. I'm sure there'll probably be some reports out there pretty quick on that one.
Good.
All right. Hands and Scotty, big show coming up next. Jake Scott, Gordon Monson still out for another day. Thought Gordon would be back, but nope.
Another week?
One day more.
Another day?
Yeah.
Another destiny.
Hands and Scotty, big show next here on the Zone Sports Network.